to share the story. So come on, Charlotte. We're excited about this. We've had a little promo last week, and I know we're going to see another one this morning. And we're all keen, because I don't even know the full story yet, and we look forward to hearing that.
Great. Thank you, Julie. We're really thrilled to be here today. We've been very much looking forward to it. We do like Moruya. Andrew and I have spent just a tiny bit of time down here in the past, but it's lovely to come back. And we've had a great time getting to know Julie and Graham and staying at their Moruya's Mar-a-Lago, we call it. It's just lovely. So I'm just going to... and also we've got Oscar and Kate here, which is great. I've shared this story in a number of different churches, and what's very special today is that Oscar is actually here in the room, because it never happens. So I'm just going to start with a prayer. And God, I just thank you for this opportunity to share this morning. And as we read your word, it is full of stories, powerful, amazing stories that have stood the test of time. David and Goliath, Jonah and the whale, all the big fish, and Daniel in the lion's den, and other just incredible stories, Lord. And those stories are so precious, but you have continued to perform miracles and have told great stories ever since your word was written. And God, this is another one of your stories, and I just pray that I would bring honour to it today, and that everyone would take something away from it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I'm just going to show a video. Looking around the room, I think we can all remember a time before the internet and mobile phones. And so we're going to go back to 1996, Andrew actually did have a mobile, but he was like one of the only people, I think, in Australia that had one, like carrying around a big brick that had about an hour, a minute of time before it cut dead. And so... we're just going to go back. This story was about a year after Oscar's accident.
Baby, baby, you got the cutest little baby. it would be good for him to do something because he's a little limited physically with his legs. I thought it might be a good idea if he continued on doing that sort of work.
It makes the job easier when Dad takes on the job of photographer.
Can I do that?
Boy, we need lots more light, Oscar.
Can I do that? Which one?
That one, the top one.
But it wasn't always this easy. Originally, Charlotte spent her days ferrying Oscar from doctor to physio to hydrotherapist. And it wasn't only the physical pain. Oscar was also suffering mentally.
He had problems where he'd get sort of flashbacks while he was sleeping. He'd get that sensation of falling. He'd just be screaming and clutching onto the bed, saying, "I'm falling, it's very, very bad, I'm falling. It's really bad this time, I'm falling."
Mm-hmm. What happens to Priscilla's slipper?
Throw it out the window!
It was counselling sessions like this one that helped cool the fear in Oscar. But while the mental scars have healed, the physical problems are still proving painful.
About every 6 weeks, he'll have 3 or 4 days where he can't walk, where his legs are very, particularly his right leg's very sore and he can't walk. He doesn't connect that back to the accident. He just thinks it's something spontaneous.
You push higher.
Okay, we'll go higher.
No, you have to pull my t-shirt.
Not like this.
Yeah.
1, 2.
Woo!
Even today, Oscar is still amazing doctors with his recovery. They've even delayed an operation he was supposed to undergo at the end of the year.
Although they don't think his x-rays look too good, they're very, very happy with how Oscar is in himself and how much he is able to do despite having x-rays which show a lot of damage actually to his femur bones and growth plates. So they won't be doing any surgery until he himself is sort of physically disabled.
I want to be a policeman and then at the end and then ambulance officer.
You're going to be a busy man.
As a medical. It's just God intervening and can't be explained any other way.
How lucky do you feel?
Very, very, very lucky. I don't think lucky is the word, but blessed. I feel very blessed.
Oscar, the amazing Luna Sparks reporting there, and we'll be back with more after this break.
We did a lot of media actually, and that's just one story that we've managed to hang on to. But we lost that video for quite a long period of time. It wasn't until Oscar was in his 20s that I found it, and I said, "Oh, Oscar, you know, come and sit down with me. Let's watch this." And so we sat down together, and at the end of it, I turned it off, and he just sat there, just staring at the blank screen, and I said, "Oh gosh, are you all right?" And he just was so silent, and I said, "Is everything okay? Are you all right?" And he turned to me and he just looked absolutely stunned, and he said, "Mum, you were once really good looking." He's getting old now too. So Andrew and I, I'll just for a bit of background, we met in year 11 at school and we were both 16, and he was a Christian and I became a Christian just after I turned 17, and we started dating then, and we got married when we were 20, and then we had 7 wonderful years, and then Oscar was born and we didn't know what hit us. It was just full on, and lots of accidents and injuries and trips to the hospital, and there was always drama. And we actually, by the time he was sort of like 2, we'd built a house and we moved in, and the dream home, and then the interest rates shot up to 17% and we couldn't afford to live there, so we had to move out. But at the same time, my parents bought an investment property in Mossman, which is a very, very unrenovated semi, and they were going to, the plan was to bulldoze the back half of it, and then they were just going to flip it. And they thought, oh, goodness me, look at Andrew and Charlotte, complete mess. Look, do you two need somewhere to live? You can move in there, just on the understanding you're going to have to move out when it's bulldozed. And we went, oh, great, okay. So we moved in on the 23rd of December 1995. And then after Christmas, Andrew went back to work. He'd been working with two other business partners. And he came home an hour later, and I said, what are you doing home? And he said, we've had a meeting and I've been voted out of the partnership. And I went, well, what are you going to do now? And he said, well, I think I'm going to be a photographer. I went, oh, right, okay. All right, so we started this photography business. And then I was able to get Oscar turned three. We had a little party for him. And then I managed to get him into a preschool 2 days a week. And I thought, oh, I can just catch my breath. And Andrew's business got off to a really good start. And I was able to spend more time with Priscilla, and I just thought, who's 18 months younger, and I just thought, you know, everything's just starting to go really well. We've been through just a really tough time financially and with Oscar and moving house, etc. And I thought, everything now, just I'm just catching my breath. This is just lovely. And then came the 19th of March, and so it's a beautiful spring day. I was taking a break from nursing, and my friend in the video there, Kerry, had this children's clothing business that Oscar was modelling the clothes, and it was party plan. And I said, look, I'll work for you. And so that day I drove Oscar, dropped him off with my mother, couldn't take him anywhere in public, and that she was at Clara, and then I went to Avalon and did this with Priscilla, who was under control, and did my sort of presentation, and then I took Priscilla shopping in Avalon Village, and the seasons were changing. It was becoming cool, so I just bought them these terry toweling dressing gowns with the piping, and Priscilla's had pink piping, Oscar's had navy, and then I took them to the shoe shop, and I thought, need slippers for winter, and I got Priscilla this pair of slippers, and I couldn't get any for Oscar because they didn't have any in his size. But home to Clara to get to my mother's place to pick up Oscar, and she said, oh, you know, he hasn't had a sleep. And I went, no, that'd be right. And then she said, well, he's had a lovely day out in the garden, beautiful sunshine, just lovely. And then so I drove them home, and then rushing around doing all the things that mums do in the, you know, that awful 5 o'clock hour. And then Andrew came home from work, and he said, oh, I'm off tonight. I've got to photograph the view from an apartment in Neutral Bay of the Harbour Bridge as the sun was setting. And I said, now, just a minute. I said, I told you you were babysitting tonight. And I said, I'm going out, and I'm ready to go and sell these children's clothes. And he went, oh, right, oh, gosh, I've got to do it tonight. The auction for the property is tomorrow. And because we'd only been in the house 5 minutes, I didn't know any babysitters. So I rang a neighbour, and she gave me a couple of numbers, and rang the first one, no answer, rang the second one, and this man answered the phone. He said, absolutely, his daughter couldn't babysit. It's a school night. And I went, oh, back in my box. And so I said, well, that's it. I'm out of options. I don't know what we're going to do. And he said, oh, no, don't worry. The apartment's empty. Tony told me it's empty. They've moved to Queensland, and even the furniture's gone. I'll take them with me. I went, oh, wow, you know, that sounds good. So dressed the children in those brand new dressing gowns, put Priscilla's slippers on her feet, and I saw Oscar running out to the car in bare feet, and I was thinking, oh, gosh, wish I had some slippers for him. And then as they were driving off, I yelled out to Andrew, because this, you know, this is before we had a phone that gave us directions, and I had to go to Chatswood that night, and he knew Chatswood, and I said, oh, hang on. Where's Devonshire Street? That's where I've got to go. And he said, I hated reading those street directories, and he said, you just go down Mowbray Road, and it's one of the streets off to the right. And I went, okay. And always in our lives, we think that we're just making vacuous comments, and there's no meaning behind anything we do. But these moments, they are God-breathed. And if I hadn't have yelled out that to Andrew, when all the drama was going on at the hospital in just a few hours, no one would have known how to find me. And I would have come home to an empty house thinking, where is everybody? So never think lightly of little things, because God is into the details. So off they drove, the children super excited, waving, and then I headed off and went to this house in Chatswood, and this woman, Janelle, I parked my car right outside the door. Janelle opened the door. Would you like a glass of champagne? Oh, yes, thank you very much. That would be lovely. And I did my presentation, and then as I was writing up the orders, I heard the doorbell ring, and I thought, gosh, someone's late. And anyway, I kept my head down, and I was writing up these orders, and then a hand was on my knee, and I thought, and it was just a little tap, and I thought, that's my sister Lucy's hand, and I've got four sisters, but somehow I just recognised that hand, and I thought, and I looked up, and there she was, and I thought, I said, Lucy, what are you doing here? And she was a uni student living with my parents in Killarney. And she said, oh, Oscar's had a wee accident. And I went, oh, well, right. And then I looked to the entryway, and my sister Kate, who lived in the inner west, in the eastern suburbs, she was there talking to Janelle. And then Janelle came over, and she's like, putting on this happy face, and she's going, everything's fine, just don't worry, leave everything, no, you get up, you know. And I thought, where am I going? Anyway, I got quickly ushered out of the house with nothing, no bag, keys, my car, nothing, and hopped into my sister's car, and we were driving down the Pacific Highway to the hospital, and I said, what's going on? I said, because they told me you need to come to the hospital, and I said, what did you say? What happened? And they said, oh, he's had a fall. And I went, oh, it's probably, you know, just another one of these things that always happens with Oscar. But then I thought, no, hang on, there's somebody, you know, why have two of my sisters turned up? And so I said, well, how far did he fall? And they said, oh, he fell six stories. And I went, oh, and I thought, is that far? How? Like, it was just so bizarre. I thought, what is that a long way? And I said, I thought, well, something must have broken his fall. So I said, well, what broke his fall? And she said, no, nothing. He fell on the concrete driveway. I went, oh, and then the lights were turning to red, and I said, just drive straight through. And then, so we got to Royal North Shore, and another thing that God always, and you never see it at the time, don't recognise it at the time necessarily, but whenever you go through trials and things, and God is always there, even if we don't know it, and he provided comfort in that. I was very familiar with Royal North Shore because that's where I did my nursing training, and I lived on site for 3 years in the nurses' quarters, and I'd worked in accident and emergency. So I walked through the double plastic doors, and all my family were there, my parents, my four sisters and their partners, and Priscilla, and I just sort of looked at them, and I said, what happened? And my mother burst into tears, and other people started crying, and I saw the door to the resuscitation room was closed, and I just knew he was in there. And then Andrew was sitting near that door and with his head in his hands, and he's crying, you know, and sobbing. And I just sort of went, well, what's happened? And then this nurse yelled out, the mother's here. We've got the mother. And I'm like, right. And then I thought, right, I'm going into that resuscitation room to see him. And the door, this woman, this doctor, she came, she was only about this tall, and she came and stood. She stood between me and the doorway, blocking it. And I said, oh, I'm the mother. And she said, I'm a doctor, and you can't go in there, and you're not going in. And I said, oh, but I'm a registered nurse. And she said, and I'm a surgical, she sort of raised up, and she said, I'm a surgical registrar, and you're not going in. And I thought, I know that if I just go around the corner, there's another doorway, and there's actually no door. It's just where there should have been a door, but there wasn't one. I thought, I'm going around there. But then this really nice doctor came up, and he sort of put his arm around me, held my hand, and he said, we're just putting some chest drains into Oscar, and then you'll be able to go in and see him. We do know that he's got two broken legs, but we're not too concerned about those at the moment. We've checked his liver and kidneys and spleen, and they're all okay, and that's a really good sign. But we're very concerned about his heart, and we're worried that, as well, he may have detached his retinas from his eyes. He could be blind, and we haven't been able to fully x-ray his spine, so we're worried about spinal injuries to his neck and his lumbar spine. I went, oh, right, okay. And anyway, so then they said, you can go in and see him. And I was very hesitant, thinking, what am I going to see? He's probably going to be such a bloody, bruised mess. And I was trying to prepare myself. But, I mean, just another thing that God did was that when I went in and he was just lying in this very brightly lit room and just a single adult bed, and he was lying completely naked, and he was just very, very small on the bed. There was a nurse at the head of the bed, and she was bagging him because they didn't have a pediatric ventilator. And there was a lot of people around the bed, and I walked over to it, and they'd taped his eyes shut with Micropore, and then he had the IVs running and catheters and the chest drains, of course, and a hard collar on his neck. And they, you know, and they said, you can sit beside him. And I thought, gosh, there's really hardly anywhere in such a small person to try and touch him. But I thought, he actually looks okay. Like he had some slight cuts on his lower abdomen from the aluminium edge of the window that when he slid out, and he had little chunks of skin missing from his toes from not having any slippers. But apart from that, I thought he looks pretty good. But then I just sort of told him I was there, and I touched the back of his head, and it was all in lumps, like from hitting your head. And they'd put him into an induced coma, but he was, I could tell he was very heightened and like stressed, like a big expression of anxiety. And I just told him, you know, I'm here and I'm not going, and I'm going to be with you. And then anyway, they had to do some x-rays and asked me to leave. And so I went back out, and then my mother was saying something's really wrong with Andrew, because he was like making groaning noises and gone into very deep shock. And so we got the doctor, and they gave him a very big dose of Valium and put him into the room next to the resuscitation room. And he lay down and went to sleep. And then that nice doctor asked to see me again, and he said, I want to show you Oscar's x-rays. So I went back into the resuscitation room, and they had them all lined up in a series of progression of every 15 minutes. And he said, when you have a deceleration fall or a high impact crash, there's a risk that one of the arteries, major arteries around your heart, can tear open. And this is what we're worried has happened to Oscar. You can see on the x-rays the progression of dark shadowing over his heart and over his lungs. And he said, if that is the case, there isn't anything that we can do for him. He said, we think he should be transferred to the Children's Hospital at Westmead, but so now can we talk to your family? And so we went into the room where Andrew was, and with my mum and dad, and they said they're going to take him by ambulance. And my father said, he's got a spine. You think he's got a spinal injury? We don't want a bumpy road. Now, look, what else can you do? Like, you know, this is Raw North Shore. And they said, right, okay. So they called the helicopter. And that took considerable time to transfer him from the hospital equipment over to the helicopter equipment. So that sort of happened at about midnight. And I asked if I could go on the helicopter, and they never let you. But I thought it was worth a try. And then they said, look, you know, we'll give you a minute just to have a moment with Oscar. And I think for me that was probably the most difficult one, when I knew I hadn't been there for the fall, I hadn't been there immediately after the accident, and now I was going to have to, having told him I was going to be with him, I had to tell him again I'm going. And I just said, you're going to have a really lovely little journey in the sky, up in the sky, and I'm going to be there to meet you when you come back. And it was hard because we'd been given a very bad scenario, and that basically told they didn't know if he'd survived the flight, so it could have been like final moments. So it was very difficult. So all my family had congregated. Andrew's parents were Christians, the Anglican minister, and they had turned up as well, and they had made all these phone calls to their prayer warrior friends, and they had about 50 people who had agreed to pray for Oscar throughout the night. And so we said goodbye to them all, and my father drove and mother drove Andrew and I out to the children's hospital. And so we walked in about 2 o'clock in the morning, and it was just, I just remember it being really dark in the foyer, freezing cold, hardly any lights on, no one there. I had to find a map and work out where to find the intensive care unit. And we went up there, and they said he survived the flight, and which was great, of course. And they said, just go into this room, and it was a room about half the size of this, like a classroom. And they said, just wait, and we'll be with you in a minute. And like, I was shivering with shock. I was so cold, and one of the nurses came, brought me a blanket. But we must have sat in there for an hour before anybody came in, and then this young English doctor came in, who was very, very stressed, and he was, we were sitting in sort of at the back of the room, and he was right up the front, and he just paced up and down, he was running his hands through his hair, and he was seemed like quite agitated, and he said, which one of you is the mother? And I went, oh gosh, that will be me. And he said, what do you know about Oscar's accident? And I said, I know he's got two broken legs. He goes, two broken legs? Look, this is very serious. Are you not aware of what a serious condition this is? He's got probably an inoperable condition with his heart, and we're worried about this and that and everything. And I just went, oh, right, okay. So anyway, he basically said, look, he's not going to survive the night, and we'll find a room for Andrew to be in. So they put him on the ward for sleep in the bed. And Mum and Dad said, well, you go and sit with him, and we'll go home. And they'd said to Dad that he wouldn't be alive by the morning. And so Dad went home and got home at about 4 o'clock, and he rang my sisters and he said, we're just waiting on a phone call from Charlotte. We've asked her to tell us if anything happens, but I have to tell you that he's not going to survive the night. And So they pulled up a chair beside his bed. He was right next to the nurse's station. And by now he was on the ventilator, and they had his legs and back slab plasters. And he had, you know, at least a sheet and a blanket over him. And I just sat there, and he had a TV in his room. And I said, when you wake up, you're going to be able to watch Sesame Street. So it was his favourite show. And I said... I could tell when he was kind of asleep, and I could tell when he was awake. And when he was awake, I'd just tell him, like, I know you're in a big battle, you're in a big fight. And I said, but you're going to win, you're going to come through. And I said, come on, keep going. I said, you're doing really well. And just kept talking to him. And around about 6 o'clock in the morning, I said to him, because they said that he was unresponsive, they're asking him to move, and he wasn't moving his legs. And I said to him, wriggle your toes, Oscar, wriggle your toes. And I'd been asking him for a little while, and there was no response. And then at around 6 o'clock, I just saw just this really faint movement. And I thought, gosh, it almost looked like it was, did I imagine it? But I went out to the nurse's station and I said, he's wriggling his toes. And the two nurses just sort of looked at each other like, oh, the mother with wishful thinking. And but anyway, they came into the room, and I said, Oscar, wriggle your toes. And he just did that tiny movement again, and one of the nurses, she just backed out. And then there was a phone call for me, and I went out to the nurse's station. It was my father, and he said, "We haven't heard from you. You know, we've been waiting on your call." And I said, "Dad, he's wriggling his toes." And my father just burst into tears because it was the first grandchild, and after five daughters, and he'd spent a lot of time with Oscar in the first 3 years of his life. And so, yeah, he couldn't believe it. My father wasn't a born-again man, so he just wasn't, like, operating with faith or miracle-believing, not any of that. So, he was completely surprised and amazed and overjoyed. That morning, the team came in and they said, "We don't understand what's happening with his heart. What we want to do is take him to theatre, and we're going to do some diagnostic procedures and just to sort of think, well, basically, why is he still alive?" And so they did that. They came back and they said, "We can't find anything wrong with his heart. There's no evidence of any bleeding." Yeah. completely healed. So then it was just a matter of checking out everything else, his spine, etc. And after that was so we had the accident on the Tuesday. This was the Wednesday. By Friday, they weaned him off the ventilator. And the first thing Oscar said when he came off the ventilator was, "I want to watch Sesame Street." So always when you're in the presence of people in a coma, they're unconscious, never give up talking to them and speaking positively, and always say the right thing because they are listening, and they're acutely listening because it's one of the only senses they've got left. Yeah. So we then went down to the children, to orthopaedic ward, and they said he's going to need to be in traction for 6 weeks. And then they came back and they said, "No, actually, the fractures are so low down, we can plaster his legs and you can go home tomorrow." And we went, "Oh, wow." So we ended up being in hospital for 1 week and then we went home. And I've skipped out a lot there. There's a lot about Oscar. Because he was conscious when he fell, he had full memory. And so when he came off the ventilator and was awake, it was like for him that the accident had only just happened, and he had a lot of PTSD, and he had a lot of counselling, etc. So I'll let you read about that in the book, because now I'm just going to move on to talking about what happened at the apartment. So they got there, and it was one of those older apartment blocks in Neutral Bay where you go in through into the lift and you've got to shut the two doors, and it just sort of creaks its way to the top ever so slowly. And Andrew realised, "Oh, we're going to the top floor," and got out and went into the apartment, and it was one bedroom, completely empty, as Andrew had said it would be. And straight in front of the lounge room, he saw those windows, and he thought, gee, they're very low to the ground. They're only 3/4 of a metre from the floor. And Andrew thought, right, I'm going to take the children out onto the balcony with me. And the balcony, the body corporate had just complied with new regulations and had the railings raised. So the top of the part of the balcony, I think it was about 1.2 off the ground. So Andrew thought, right, they're safe here. And he set up the tripod and looked through, and he took one photo, and then he said, "Come on, kids, let's go." And he turned around, Priscilla's there, and there was no Oscar anywhere. And he thought, he's gone into the apartment. So he went back into the apartment, and he saw one of those windows had just been opened. It was only about that much. And he thought, no, he couldn't have. There's no way he would not have gone out that window. But he went to the window and he looked out, but he didn't look down. And he thought, no, he's not there. No, thank you. And so he thought, well, he's playing a game of hide and seek. So he went through all the cupboards and he's calling Oscar, and there was nothing. And then he thought, well, he's gone out the door. And he went to the door, but it was deadlocked. And he thought, well, he's got out there somewhere. So just in that hope that somehow he managed to get out that door. And he called in the corridor and there was no answer. He came back into the apartment and he just saw that open window and he thought, no, no, no. And he just started spinning around the room, feeling like he was levitating. And then he went to the window and this time he looked straight down and Oscar was about that big in his vision. Power lines are three stories down from where he fell. And he was just lying in the fetal position and Andrew just thought, well, he's dead. And he just gathered up Priscilla and all his things and started taking the lift down and ever so slowly. And my sister rang him, Emma, with a computer problem. And he said, I can't talk. You know, Oscar's had this terrible accident. And she had spoken to my parents that day and they had said, we're going to dinner at Tables Restaurant in Pymble. So Emma rang Tables and got my father on the phone and somehow everybody managed to get to the hospital. And Andrew, in the lift, he rang his parents and he also rang the ambulance. And then as he was coming out of the lift, there was a man in the foyer walking towards him, good-looking man in a grey suit, looked like a Neutral Bay yuppie come on his way home from work. And he had very serene, calm look on his face. And he walked straight towards Andrew like he knew who he was. And he said, it's okay, he's breathing. And Andrew went, oh, thanks, and handed him Priscilla. And then Andrew went outside and he crouched down over Oscar and he said, I want mummy. And so completely conscious throughout the whole thing. And then the man came out and then holding Priscilla and then the ambulance arrived and they put Oscar obviously into the ambulance and Priscilla and Andrew went and they were asking Andrew, where did he fall from? And Andrew said, well, he fell from the top window. And they were looking at each other going, no, no. And where did he fall from? And Andrew said, you know, up there, the top window. And then they said again, look, where did he fall from? And Andrew said, see that open window? He fell from that window. And they went, and they just couldn't believe, what do you mean? Like, he's conscious, he's alive, like, they were just absolutely scratching their heads. And we never saw that man again. And we believe that he was an angel sent to bring good news in a moment of hope. His reaction and everything was just... he wasn't there when Andrew looked out the window. He wasn't there, but he... Just a very unusual way to react to seeing a three-year-old boy on the driveway of a car park at that hour of the night. So a few days before Oscar's accident, after his accident, a few weeks after the accident, I received a letter from a friend of mine who actually used to be our house church leaders, and her brother was an English teacher at the school where Andrew and I had gone to school. And he was a member of the Ruach Church and he'd gone to his sort of home group and this girl, Trish, who was 19, engaged to be married and she was training to be a kindergarten teacher and she said, I had this dream. And they said, oh, you know, please share. And she said, last night I had this dream and in the dream I saw this old sort of orangey coloured brick apartment building and right up the top I saw a window being opened and then I saw a small child falling out of the window and he was falling head first and I knew that he was going to die. And God said to me, pray for the boy that he doesn't die but that he lives. And she said, I yelled out, in the name of Jesus, let the child live. And she said, then an angel appeared and tilted the boy upright so he didn't land on his head, but he landed on his knees. And Oscar is actually written up in medical textbooks for being the only living example of anybody ever landing on their knees because you always, the heaviest part of you hits the ground first. And they'd never heard of that. So... that further confirmed to us that the angel that Trish saw in her dream was the angel that Andrew met as he came out of the building. Those are all the miracles. Oh, I did forget to tell you one thing. God always sort of can sometimes talk to us and tell us to, like, to pray for things specifically. On the morning of that of the accident as Andrew drove off to work, God said to him, pray for your family and be thankful for them. And I went, oh, right. And so he started praying for me and Oscar, Priscilla. And then as he did so, he was moved to tears. And the Holy Spirit came over him and he was just crying. Just, thank you, God. I'm so grateful for everything I've got. And then he pulled up to his first job and went inside, got on with his day and completely forgot that happened. And so, as we all know, God moves in mysterious ways. And I don't know why all these things had to come about to enable Oscar's survival, but that is what God chose to do in this instance. There were many, many factors. A girl having the dream, an angel had to appear, God telling Andrew to pray. Greg and Judy's, his parents, prayer warrior friends, praying for Oscar throughout the night. It took a lot. Took a lot of coordinating from up there in heaven for Oscar's miraculous survival. Now, many people have asked me why it's taken me so long to write the book. And one of the things was I never knew where the story ended. And it wasn't until a couple of years ago that we were at our church and they had a marriage seminar, which we went to. And in that marriage seminar, Andrew received healing that he'd from feelings of inadequacy and being a hopeless father for taking his eye off the ball, and which caused this to happen. And when Andrew had that healing, that was when I knew I had the ending to the story. So because it didn't really finish when we came home from hospital, there was a lot more that we lived through. And in the book, I talk about the incredible amount of attention that Oscar had on him, which had an adverse effect on our daughter, the sibling rivalry, just the financial implications, the ongoing treatment of his legs. They said his legs would never grow again, but he's now 6'1". So God continued to do miracles as he was growing, and he's never had to have more surgery or anything like that. So, yeah, it's been absolutely incredible. So, Julie, that's the story of Oscar's survival. So I'm happy to hand back to you. And I don't know whether you want to ask Oscar anything.
I do. But don't forget, Charlotte's got the books up the back. They're $25. And she forgot her FPOS thingy. So if you'd like one and you don't have the cash on you, you can pay the church and we'll send the money on. Oscar, would you come and stand here for a moment? How do you feel when you watch that and when you hear that story? How do you feel about that?
Well, it's kind of interesting because this is something that happened to me at such a young age. And so it's always been a part of me. Yeah. I obviously didn't die. Yeah. So it kind of wasn't, I never really thought of it growing up as something that was so significant or something that really kind of defined me. It was just this thing that happened that I don't even really remember, right? I mean, I do have one. In fact, my earliest memory is of lying in the hospital bed, and I looked down and I saw the red glow of the pulse oximeter on my thumb. And I remember as a 3-year-old I was very fascinated with that. But that it's a very short memory, and that is and that's all I have. So when I read the story and I hear the story being told by my mother, you know, it is very emotional. I didn't sort of, growing up, I always kind of thought that, well, this was something that happened to me and whatever. But it's also something that happened to my parents and the whole family. To have that perspective is sort of very, can be difficult to listen to in parts. But it also is very humbling. I always feel the need to point out that, you know, the Miracle Boy is not a, that was not a self title. I was 3 years old. That's what the media gave me. But it is very humbling, especially when you sort of piece together, you know, the angels and the people having dreams about me and praying and you know, it is really wild. And you sort of wonder, what was the purpose? What was his sort of... I've been a sort of a naturally, as my parents will attest, I've been a naturally very defiant person growing up. And so sometimes I think maybe it was just him humbling me. There you go, cop that. I'll save your life, but it's going to hurt.
Thank you. Thanks, Oscar. Isn't it amazing, though? You hear of a miracle, but we're seeing it here today. Thank you so much. Thank you. And I just, I can't imagine as a mother, I sort of think God probably protected you from being there. But Andrew, I can't imagine those moments of what you went through and all that would have been in your heart for all those years. And I'm so glad that God has brought a healing and a release to you for that, because it's more than just the one thing here, isn't it? So thank you so much for sharing today. It's been amazing. And yeah, I've got the book. I'm going to read it. And, you know, just God still does miracles. And we've heard it and we've seen it here today. So thank you so much for sharing. So...